Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen, amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Just to come together and worship Him, you know, and to praise Him and to honor Him. Oh, and thank Him for the many blessings that He's given unto us. You know, He's such a good God unto us, people. So good. And really, you know, good is not enough. He's a great God. And great is not enough. There's no words in the English language or whatever language that you speak that can really say who He is. Say who He is. You need to try to keep them. Okay, thank you. Let me just say this. We do want to welcome everyone here, and we want to thank you for coming and being a part of our service. And we want to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. A happy Mother's Day. And we pray that it's a great day for you, that you are honored and you are felt loved and stuff. And we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. Just a matter of note. I know there's things that are happening, and they're getting things fixed. But I just want to let you know, if you have to get up, it is a distraction to the people. So if you can eliminate that as much as you can, I'd appreciate that. I'd appreciate it. Because it is, you know, whenever you move, but, you know, you might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I have to get up. I understand. Hey, look, you know, I'm not here nailing you to your seat. No. That's not it. But always keep that in thought, you know, that every time you do get up, for whatever reasons, you know, bathroom or water, whatever, it is a distraction. So if you can put off, try to. You know, because it does distract from what's happening in the service. And I appreciate your effort in that area. Amen. But also, just a matter of note, we do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last week we picked up, $1,661.99. So we do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Thank you for being faithful. You know, and I just pray the blessings of God upon your family. You know, not just material things, but in every area. I pray that when you open your Bible to read every day, that the Holy Spirit would illuminate that word unto you. That something would come out of that word and would penetrate your heart and my heart as I read, that will give the breath of life into us, our spirit man. So I want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church, and we certainly do appreciate it. Also, a matter of note, the nursery. If you're able to help with the nursery. We do have a sign-up sheet on this little table here, a bookshelf. If you'd like to help with that, please sign your name, and we will get you to work, you know, and do whatever needs to be done. Now, they're just not in there just taking care of them. They're teaching them a lesson that we've started today. Lessons about just things about in the Bible, just things. So, and also, a matter of note, we're going to be starting children's church next month. Probably not till about the 15th, is it? Father's Day is the 9th, so it'd be the week after that. So if you are interested in helping with children's church, please sign the sheet so we'll know who is, you know, and whatever, or let Jelaine and I know. Now let me just tell you about what's gonna happen. What's gonna happen is everybody comes in here at 10, we have praise and worship, and at about 10:30 or so, the kids and whoever's working that Sunday will go across the street to our old building, and they will have children's church. It will be two adults all the time. We will have lessons for you to do. And every first Sunday of the month, we're going to all stay in church and have church together. What I'm trying to do is meet the needs of the kids, but also to make sure that all the workers are taken care of, that your needs are also met. So I don't want you to feel, well, if I sign up for children's church, I'll never be in church. No. We're trying to get enough workers that you may be in there, hopefully just once a month. just once a month if it works out. But if you're able to help, please help. Please help. Because, you know, I know God is moving upon this church and upon you and in this area. And I tell you what, God is filling the barns. What He sees, you know, what He sees coming, we got to get prepared and we got to be ready to receive the souls that are coming in and to feed them not ourselves but the Word of God. And to have the anointing and the presence of God moving in them. So if you're able to help in any area of those areas, we certainly would appreciate it. Honestly, we need your help. We need your help. We do. We need you to help. And let the blessings just flow on you. As you study that lesson to teach those kids, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will get all hold of you and will show you things that you've never seen before. Letting God move in you and work through you. So we appreciate you. If you'd like to help in any of those areas, we certainly do appreciate it. And we thank you for doing your part. Also, a matter of note, June the 2nd, which is about 3 or 4 weeks away or so, we're going to have a special dedication anniversary of this church here. You might say, well, Pastor, what are you going to do? We're going to invite people that don't come here to come and just to be with us as we dedicate. And I know we have personally, I know I have, I know you have, we have dedicated this place to Him. That everything that would happen in this place would give praise and honor to our God. So on June the 2nd, we're going to have a dedication of this place. And we're going to have dinner after church. We're going to have a jambalaya dinner for everybody just to eat and have fun. And just invite the Spirit of God to move upon this place as we dedicate it unto Him. Because, you know, it's no use building a building and doing all this and we only have our own agenda at mind. We want the mind of Christ and the agenda of God to be evident in this place as God moves upon the hearts and souls of the people. So keep that in mind, and I'll have more information next week for you to share with you about what we need and all that stuff. But we want you to get excited about it. Tell people about June the 2nd that we want them to come, that they are invited into this place, and just let God move in their hearts and souls. Amen. So we appreciate you guys. As we said earlier, today is what? Mother's Day. And so we want to wish everyone a Mother's Day. And I know, you know, not everyone's a mother, you know. So we want to, you know, make sure that all women are honored today in this church. You know, if you're a mother or not, a potential mother or not, you know, whatever. But we do want to honor you and we want to thank you for all that you've given unto us as a church. Wishing everyone. Now, I wanted to make sure, did everybody get a gift when you walked through the door? Everybody, all ladies, not everybody, all ladies. I didn't get one. Oh, okay. No. All ladies. you might say, Pastor, why do you do that? Because Jelaine and I want to show you that you're special. We want you to realize that. And we want you to know that we love you guys. Ladies, we love you. We love everybody. You know, we love all men, women, children. But ladies, we certainly do appreciate you. And we thank God for you. And thank God for the things that He has done in your life. And where we can look back in a year from now, next Mother's Day, and say, look, surely look what the Lord has done in your personal life, in your church, in your pastor, in all of us. And seeing the presence of God and the move of God in every one of our hearts and every one of our lives. So we do want to say that we appreciate you, ladies, and we thank God for you this day. And we want to thank you for all that you have done for the church. As your pastor, I want to thank you, ladies. Thank you for the sacrifices that you've you have endured for this place. Thank you for coming and painting and cleaning and working and doing all the things that you have done. You know, and I appreciate you. And I thank God for you, all that you have given unto this place. You know, the first Sunday that we had church at EJ&M's house, you know, there was how many people? Well, EJ&M, that made up 8 people or so. I don't know, you know. But you know what? I mean, you know, we had your mom, my mom. You. I mean, it was, I don't know, 10, 15 people. You know, that, and that was because EJ&M and all their family. But we had a lot of ladies there, you know. You know, that we started. I mean, we just said, hey, whoever wants to come, come, you know. You know, I've never gotten on the phone and called people. Nope. Never. Never done that. Now, if they come and they're interested, then I might call and say, look, we're glad to have you. But, you know, we started out with a lot of ladies, you know, and we still have a lot of ladies. And what God is doing in the hearts of the ladies. And I, as your pastor, want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful to the church. Thank you for being faithful to God. Thank you for being faithful to your pastor. I appreciate you. I thank God for you. And I know Jelaine and I, we love you and we thank God for you. I know today I'm going to be talking a lot about ladies and the role they played in the church and what they've done. But really and honestly, you can relate it to anyone and everyone here. Men, women, children, whatever. So every time, you know, I may say ladies, you might say, well, that's not me, you know. Well, just think of yourself. Just think of yourself also. There's a woman in the Bible that the scripture alludes to very briefly. But there are some incredible traits that she embodies within herself. And that woman's name was Jochebed. Now, you know, honestly, that's not a pretty name. I'm sure, you know, in school she got teased. I'm sure, you know, throughout life, you know, there was some laughter and jeers, you know, towards her. But you know what? You know, God names the people, you know, He gives the names to the people, and you know, whatever He wants to name people, that's up to Him. But you see, this lady, now you get this, her husband was Amram. Now, can you imagine this couple being somewheres, you know, and, you know, I'm Amram, and this is my wife, Jochebed, you know, and you kind of, oh my God, you know, just the names, you know, just not too good. Well, you know, after looking at these names, Jochebed, we can all look at our own names and say, my God, we have pretty good names. You know, I mean, you know, it's pretty good. You know, we don't have to look down upon our names anymore when we think of other people's names. But you know who her children were? Aaron. Her daughter was Miriam. And she had another son named Moses. Now, in Scripture, they don't talk a lot about her. But she saw a miracle happen. She saw something happen in by God that astonished her, astonished the world, and changed the world through her son Moses. It says in Scripture, if you want to turn to Exodus chapter 2, you can turn there and we'll read it in a few minutes. Exodus chapter 2. I just want to backtrack just a little bit before we talk a little bit more about her, Jochebed, which was the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. When the Jews had been in Egypt for over 400 years, Joseph, you remember, had saved the country from a famine. But eventually he was forgotten by the Egyptian rulers, the Pharaoh. It says that Pharaoh was afraid of the Jews because there were so many of them. Fear came in to Pharaoh. Remember, God raised up Joseph, which was a Jew, to save all of Egypt and to save all the country there because of what God had showed him. And he saved the people from famine. Well, the Jewish people became so great. They had so many people that the new pharaohs that rose up forgot about Joseph, forgot about what God had done, forgot about the famine that they had. It was basically 400 years later, had forgotten how God had moved on their behalf and had used an Israelite, had used a Jew to save them and help them. They forgot about that blessing that God had given them. And the new Pharaoh, hundreds of years later, became afraid. What happened was, Slewfoot got a foot in his heart. And he became afraid of what was happening. He was putting thoughts in his mind that the Jewish people would rise up and help other countries and would conquer the Egyptians, which was further from the truth at that time. So, Pharaoh had a decree go out. And he said this. He said, every Jewish boy that is born is to be put to death. Now, it wasn't by accident that when the decree came out that Jochebed found out she was pregnant. It's not by accident. You know, we think, well, you know, something happens and, oh my God, Lord, you need to intervene. Well, God knew about it all the time. God knew that she would get pregnant for Moses. God knew that at that time of pregnancy, having the child, that Pharaoh would get upset. He would see things that really weren't true. And his decree would go out to kill all these babies. Now, can you imagine when the decree went out, she has Moses. Her heart is heavy. But God is moving. God is moving. God is moving. God has all things ordered for your life. Things don't just rise up and God tries to solve it. God knows things that will rise up, ladies, in your life. God knows the heartaches that you have. God knows the pains that you go through. God knows the sufferings that are happening. He knows what is going on in your life. It's not by accident. He's not just waiting there and saying, well, let me do something now. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. Just as he knew what was happening in Jochebed's life. She had two other kids already. Moses was the youngest. He knew what was going on. Ladies, God knows what is going on in your life. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes it seems like I just can't make another day. The struggles and the pain. God knows what's going on. You as ladies, guys, men, we have to do what she did. Follow the Spirit of God. Pastor, how do I do that? By getting to know Him and His Spirit. How do I do that? By getting to know what the Word says. Because God will never contradict what the Word says, what the Bible says. Praying and seeking Him and honoring Him with our lives. It says, God takes care of it all in your life if we will let Him. Just as God has honored ordered all things in Jochebed's life. God has ordered all things in your life. Your life. Your life has been ordered by God. Your life has been ordered by God. The devil, and I'll come back to this, I'll just throw this out. The devil has tried to destroy women. He's tried to destroy you as women. Your womanhood, he's tried to destroy you because of how God has used you to bring the Savior into the world. The devil hates you. We know the devil hates all Christians, definitely. He hates us. But I tell you what, the devil hates women. Because in Genesis it says, chapter 3, verse 15, put that scripture up. It says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Keep that scripture up. When Adam and Eve fell, you want to say it that way, when they allowed the serpent to come in and bring sin into the world. You know, you often heard, well, was it the man's fault? Was it the woman's fault? Let me tell you this. Somebody's phone. Oh, that's okay. Answer it. Tell them I said hi. Really? That's okay. She said, "I'm sorry." That's okay. Don't worry. I understand. Hey, my phone went off in church in the other building. Just forgot to turn it off. I mean, you know, that's how it is. But really, in the end, when it all comes down to everything, it's both their fault. It's Adam and Eve's fault. They both let the enemy come in. They both let the enemy drive them to a place where they disobeyed God. It's both their fault. It's both their fault. But I tell you what, the enemy came in and deceived Eve and brought destruction upon Adam and Eve through that. But it says that God, in his mercy towards mankind, because the woman was used first to bring the sin nature or destruction upon humankind, that's okay. God, in his mercy, listen, used a woman to bring the Savior into the world. God, look, God is the one that made everything in this world. God could have spoke and said Jesus and have him appear upon the earth. God can do what he wants. He owns this earth. He owns everything in our lives. He could have done whatever he wanted, but he chose to the Spirit of God. It says that the Spirit of God came upon Mary, and God used Mary to hold the Savior in her body. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, did he use anything of Mary? No. All she was an incubator to hold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There was nothing from Joseph, and there was nothing from Mary. But he was in there. None of the sin nature of us or them was in that child, Jesus. But God chose Mary, a woman, to hold the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that through his death, that we could now have liberty and freedom with him, that we can now be set free from the chains of bondage, from our minds and our hearts, that we could be set free as we look and we put our trust in him. How God is a merciful God. How many of us have failed God? And we failed God miserably. Every one of us has done things in our hearts and in our lives that has disappointed God. And probably, maybe if you want to say a little worse, disappointed us. And we've had to come to the mercy seat of God and say, Father, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And the mercy of God, He comes down and says, come. And He grabs us. And He says, you're forgiven. Through the blood of Jesus. Through the Savior of the world. Satan used a woman to bring destruction. God used a woman to bring a Savior. See, that's the difference. Our God loves life. Our God loves you, women. Our God loves you and cares about you and wants the best for you. Look to Him. Trust Him. It says in Exodus, could you bring that Exodus 2 or whatever, verse 1 to 4, I think it is. It says this. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off, talking about Mary, and went, what would be done to him? And you can stop there. Here we see every time I read this, my heart breaks. Because there's nothing like a mother's love towards her children. You know, the mother wants to hold and caress and the father says, just let him go. You know? Let him go, you know? I was listening. You remember Jude? That's Rita's brother, Jude. The only son. He was telling me a story. He said, you know, him, Jude, and some other guys, I don't know, they just didn't get along and they wanted to fight and whatever. So the fathers would try to keep them apart. And one day, Mr. Douglas and this other father said, okay, y'all gonna fight. Let's get this thing settled. Now, Jude didn't say Miss Jane was there. Because she would have been there praying and said, oh, no, 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 no. You need to get along. God says to love. Turn the other cheek. And you know, when Mr. Douglas and the guy just says, just fight it out. And so they let him fight. That's the difference. That's the difference. And that's good differences. There's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't mean that the women are right or the men are right. You know, that you need a compromise, you know. But the men said, just let them fight. The woman said, oh, no, no, you know. She stayed in the house. But see, women and men are different. But God, what God can do. And it says that Jochebed, when she could no longer hide Moses anymore. In Scripture, it doesn't say if she went and she bought an ark of bulrushes, it's called, or if she made it. I don't know. It doesn't really say. It just says that she put the pitch or the tar inside and to make it waterproof. But can you imagine when she knew the time that she couldn't keep him quiet anymore? Or she just couldn't hide him anymore. And she starts to either, let's say she starts to make it, go that route. Can you imagine how she's taking the bulrushes? It's like a weed type thing in the water that they cut and they weave it into a basket. Can you imagine if she had to work on that? As she was making it, thinking, my son is going in here. My son is going in here. Or let's say she had to go and buy it and she goes to the markets And she's looking for the perfect one. She's looking for the basket that has no tares in it. She's looking for the basket that is perfect. When she gets to the basket, if you want to go that route, it doesn't matter because it doesn't say, so we can talk about both. Let's say she picks it up and she examines it. She might have put 20 of them down till she finally got to the right one. Because you see, that's her son. She didn't know what was going to happen years later or what was going to happen moments later. And she takes her son when that day finally came. And I honestly believe that she was led by the Spirit of God. No woman would take her son, led by her own self, put him in a little ark of bulrushes, close it up, and put it on the riverbank and push it. No woman in her right mind. There's no way. But can you imagine the day comes and she takes that basket and she's walking with the baby in one arm, maybe the basket holding the basket, and she's walking to the river. Now I know she must have had a box of Kleenex somewheres or a towel somewhere, wiping her eyes knowing what was going to happen. Well, that's all. But still trusting in God. Trusting in God. A faith in God to believe that He would take care of her son. See, ladies, you need to trust God with your children. Some of them have been wanting to leave, and I know it has to be a right time and a right age and all that. But trust God with your children. You might say, well, Pastor, it's hard. I know it is. But you can trust God for only what you can see. Just as Jochebed could only trust God for what she could see. She made or bought the ark of bulrushes. And in Hebrew, it's the same Hebrew word as the ark of Noah's ark. It's the same word they use in the Old Testament. It was an ark. God took care of Noah and his family and all the kids. God took care of Moses. God was there. The Spirit was there. As you release your children, as you release your spouse, as you release those people that mean a lot to you, the Holy Spirit can go and do a work. But as long as you hold on to them, only you can do it. I say, Pastor, how do you do it? You say, Lord, I give them to you. Lord, show me what to do. Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. Help me with my children. Help me with my spouse. Help me with the job or whatever's going on in your personal life. Asking God to move on your behalf. Can you imagine? As she takes that ark of bulrushes, puts it on the ground, and she puts Moses in it. And right before she's about to close it, I'm sure she might have hurried up and taken him out and hugged him again, gave him a kiss, put him back in, wrapped him in the Hebrew clothes or cloth or blanket that they had in there. And finally the end comes and she closes it. And I'm sure there was some kind of little lock thing to make sure that it stayed shut. She puts it in the water. And I don't know if she looked up or not. But I know in her heart she probably said, Lord, be with him. Be with him. Father, I trust you. And as she said, Father, I trust you, she pushes it off. And it starts to go in the water. She calls her sister, her daughter, Miriam, and says, go and watch where it goes. Now that's faith, that's trust. That's faith and that's trust. She didn't realize when she pushed off the ark of bulrushes, she was pushing off a great leader of the Word of God. She didn't realize when she was pushing it off and letting go that God was going to raise up Moses to be a mighty leader, to be the deliverer of her people. She didn't realize what was in that baby when she pushed it off. But God knew. As ladies, everyone, as we release things to God, God has the opportunity to come and solve it. And it says that as it was drifting, Pharaoh's daughter came out to take a bath. And she saw this basket. She commands her servants to go and get it. And as they bring it to her, it's a little baby. God knew He could melt the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. A woman. She looks at it. Her heart goes out to this child. Because honestly, she knew what was supposed to happen. Death was supposed to be upon that child. But she didn't allow it. The Spirit of God was upon her. The Spirit of God was in that ark. The Spirit of God was upon that water. When that servant girl got it, no telling what happened to her because of the Spirit of God that was in it. God Almighty was protecting it and leading it. And it says that Miriam came around to Pharaoh's daughter and said, "You want me to get somebody to take care of the child for you?" Led by the Spirit of God. If we only could realize, as we trust in Him, that He will take care of everything. Everything. Not just some things, but all things are taken care of by God. As we do, as she did, trust in her Savior, trusting in Him, that He will solve the things that need to be solved in our lives. And she goes and she said, "I have somebody that can take care of the child." And goes and gets his mother, Jochebed. Now, do you think when Miriam came and got her mother, that she just nonchalantly walked to where Moses was? It doesn't say in Scripture, but I tell you what. From the time that Miriam got to Jochebed, she was running. Because that's her son. And her son needed her. And probably it was almost feeding time. She knew it. She knew that child. And she came running to that child and got that child. And nursed that child till he was of age. It doesn't say exactly what the age was, but till he was of age. Trusting in God. Trusting Him. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, or 4 and 5, one of the two, 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Keep that scripture up. Trusting in Him. The trust that she had that God would take care of that boy. Trusting in Him. Led by the Spirit of God. Led by God. One of the greatest characteristics of Jochebed was that she trusted in God. You might say, "Pastor, sometimes I don't know." I know it. Can you imagine? Jochebed said the same thing. "I don't know." And her heart was in pain, saying, "I don't know if I can do this." But if she would have kept that child, destruction would have come. I'm telling you. If she would have kept that child in that home, destruction would have come. We wouldn't read about Moses today, basically. God would have had to raise up somebody else. But I tell you what, God intervenes. As she was praying, God was moving. As you pray, God moves. As you seek the Lord, God moves. Your prayers change the outcome of things upon this earth. Sometimes, ladies, I know you think, "My God, my prayers don't mean a thing." Your prayers mean a lot to God. You know, God in heaven doesn't say, well, you know, this is a woman's prayer, well, I'm not going to answer it. This is a man's prayer, I'm going to answer it, or vice versa. No, no. He looks at the heart of a person and he says, if their heart is right before me, if they are doing what I want them to do, I will listen to their prayers and I will answer those prayers according to the will that is upon heaven's gates. We as a church need to intercede and pray and seek God to see the things that God has ordained for this place and ordained for our own personal lives. Trusting in God, trusting in the things that He has done, trusting in the Spirit of God to lead and guide us. God has more in store for His people than what we ever could imagine. He has more in store for you as a family, as a father, as a mother, as children, than what we could ever imagine. The power of God is waiting. The Holy Spirit is waiting and moving to do whatever God wants Him to do. He's waiting for a people to humble themselves and pray and seek His face so that His power can move through His people, where people can come in and be touched by the Spirit of God. Not touched by man or touched by a church, but touched by the Spirit of God. Jochebed was moved by God. And when she was moved by God, she was led by God. When she was led by God, God moved on her behalf to change the situation. And Moses, we read about him and how God used that man. You know what the astonishing thing is? You read in Scripture, there's only one Scripture. One Scripture about Moses' life in Pharaoh's house. You know what that tells me? And would tell the church? That it wasn't important. What we think is important and what God thinks is important is totally different. I mean, we would think, my God, he's in Pharaoh's house for years and years and years. Man, give us his life story. What happened? What he did? What he wore? And I mean, you know, we want to know. But to God, it means nothing. What God says is important is what God says is important. And what he says is not important is what's not important. His mother, with not a lot of money, his father without a lot of money, they were more important than all the glimmer in Pharaoh's house. Trusting in God. So you see, don't ever think, women, you're not important. Don't let the devil tell you that. Don't accept it. Don't accept the greeting card from old Slewfoot. Reject it. Say, it's not true. What the Word of God says is that I'm a child of God. And as I trust in Him, He will move on my behalf. He will change my heart. He will look at me. And He looks at me with pleasure because I please Him with my praise and worship and honor towards Him. Ladies, there's some of you, and I'm going to tell you this. God has been wanting to wake you up at night and you've been rejecting it to pray. Get up. Get up and pray. Get up and read your Bible like He wants you to. God is moving. We can't reject Him. When we reject the Holy Spirit, we're saying, Father, I don't believe what you're saying is right. But look, when we follow Him and we do what He says, we're saying, Lord, you know what to do. You know what is right. You know what is right. I need your help, ladies. As your pastor. And today's Mother's Day, but I need everybody's help. Fathers, I need your help. There's a mission to be won out there. There's people that need help. You might say, well, what do you want us to do? Number one, we need people that can pray. You might say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, come and just pray. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost and just start praying in tongues. And I'm going to tell you, hit the throne room of heaven very quickly. We need your help. Jelaine and I, we need your help. To win the loss. There are people out there that are held in bondage by old Slewfoot. And ladies, God is raising you up. In Ezekiel chapter 37 that I've been reading and praying for our church and believing for you and believing for me, the dry bones will now become life. And you and I will become a mighty army in the kingdom of God. To the world, we seem like nothing. To the world, we are nothing. To the world, we're less than nothing. But to God, what does He say? But to God, see, that but changes the difference. That but makes the difference. With our God, we can accomplish what He wants us to do. We need to be a praying people that God, when He wakes us up, we stand up and say, Lord, I'm ready to work. Lord, I'm ready to pray. Lord, I'm ready to see people come into the kingdom. There are people out there that are in bondage so much in their minds. And in their hearts, in their bodies, in their spirits, that the devil has tried to destroy them. We know the answer. We have the answer. It's the blood of Jesus. We've won already. We can call their names out and we can believe God to move upon them, taking the chains of bondage off. Men, women, I need you to pray. I need you to come help us. To see, to win the battle. We're not here just to meet together on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays and whatever and to do all this. God says to come together to worship me. Come together to get energized. Come together to get raised up. Come together to be full of my spirit. Then He says, go. 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 And tell them about me. See, what the church world has tried to do is do everything else but pray and seek Him. Do everything else. I mean, you know, and then go try to win people for the Lord. There's no way. It won't happen. Will not happen. It's a battle we can't win, but it's a battle that God has already won. All we got to do is get in line with what the Spirit of God says and get in line with what He's already won. Ladies, I need you. I'm encouraging you. Wake up. I'm encouraging you, ladies and men, to come pray with us when we gather together to pray. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if my prayers mean much. Lord, every prayer means a lot when it's towards our God. Every prayer moves mountains. And the devil knows that. He'll try to keep you home. He'll try to get you so occupied you can't come. I know that. Hey, I know I live it. But I tell you what, the agenda of our Savior with His people, and you need to get this, needs to be number one. I didn't say the church's agenda. I didn't say religion's agenda. I said God's agenda. His agenda for souls. For souls. And ladies and men and women, I want to thank you. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for praying for my wife and I, our family. The last month, 2 months, I have felt the difference. I want to tell you that. It's something on the inside of me that's raging to get the job done. Time is short. Get the job done. Something on the inside. I want to thank you. I know said a little bit about prayer or whatever. I surely don't want anyone to think that we're not praying. I know you're praying. But we need to come together to pray too also. Pray individually when God wakes you up. Pray individually when God puts it upon your heart during the day. But also to come together to see a mighty move of God. Thank you for praying. I feel the difference. The only way that I can describe is like I'm telling you, while I'm walking, doing the work and doing whatever, I feel the presence of God. Messages will come up in my spirit like, okay. Things will come up. Thank you. And I know it's because you're praying. I know it's because we are praying. God is just moving. Things happen. Things move the hand of God when we yield before Him and when we pray and seek His face. Thank you. Keep it up. Keep it up. There's a mighty move of God on the forefront of our building. I'm telling you, it's coming. Our barns are full. You might say, well, Pastor, it doesn't look full, but to God, He says our barns are full. And when God speaks, He speaks. And what God says is truth. We can look at our physical eyes and say, well, there's some empty chairs. Yes, I understand that. But what does God see? And what God sees as we put our faith and trust in Him, a mighty move of God. It astonishes me what God has done. It's like sometimes it's unbelievable. I'm honest with you. Sometimes it's unbelievable. What God has done in this area, in this church, in Gaydon, to have a church like this. The power and the presence of God. So I want to thank you, and I appreciate that. It says in Exodus chapter 2, look at verse 5 through 10, and we'll stop in a minute. It says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she set her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe cried. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. How faithful is God? How faithful is God? Let me tell you, ladies, you can trust God. Men, you can trust God that He is going to take care of all things. You can trust Him that He will take care of all things. She didn't know the end result. And you know, we sit here today, May 12, 2013. We don't know the end result, the end yet. We don't know. But we know God knows. And we just need to follow the Spirit of the living God. Where He goes, we shall go. And where He stops, we shall stop. Where He runs, we shall run. Because that's led by God. Ladies, we appreciate you. And we thank God for you. And I pray a mighty move of God in your heart like never before. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, Father, we just thank You, Lord God. Lord, I thank You for these ladies. Father, I pray that Your Spirit would be upon them. Lord, God, I thank You for placing them in this church, Lord. Lord God, we want them to feel appreciated. We want them to feel that they belong here and that we love them, Lord. And Father, I pray that the hand of God, Your hand, Father, would rest upon them. That You will give them favor everywhere they go. That You will be with them. You will look in their hearts and You will change areas that need to be changed. But Father, I pray that Your Spirit would rest upon them. And that, Father, that there would be a mightier trust in You than ever before. Lord, raise them up, Lord God, as mighty women of God for Your kingdom. And Father, I thank You for everyone that is here today. Bless the men, the women, and the children, Lord God. Protect them lead them and guide them and be with them. Your will be done, Father, in all of our hearts and all of our lives, Father. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you, and we love you. Have a great week this week.